The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. I am a man. Yes, I can. And I understand we have a caller. We were talking about all this militia craziness, and I understand we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question, a comment?
I'm just concerned for our country. The Republican Party is in such a bad condition. The kinds of things that keep coming up, and we want to laugh about it, but when we're talking about a militia in the hands of these people, it's kind of scary. I'm not sure if the Republican Party cannot get a hold of itself and start controlling some of this, then Obama or somebody's going to have to come in and make sure it just doesn't happen.
Well, when you say it's scary, do you remember this happening before?
In the past?
Yes.
Well, not in Oklahoma especially, but certainly the militias are there in the South. I just finished reading Morris D's book from the Southern Law group out there, and he has quite a history of that.
Well, I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're tuning in. I agree with you. I think it is something to be concerned about. Hopefully it's something that we'll be able to delve back into, later on. Right now we're going to delve into another subject. If you've thought about the Chamber of Commerce before and, have ever wondered, who they are and what they really stand for, I think you're going to enjoy the next subject that we turn to. There's an organization out there called StopTheChamber.com. It's a coalition of nonprofits dedicated to corporate and government accountability, and they've been warning for months about the devastating effect that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce policies on the well-being of Americans. Joining me now is David Swanson, who is a member of StopTheChamber.com, and we're going to get into that. David, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that struck me as odd, and maybe you can help fill in the dots here, apparently the Chamber has been lying about the size of its ranks.
Yes, dramatically so. Not that there's much it doesn't lie about, but it claims all kinds of members that it doesn't have in order to sound like some sort of massive grassroots organization. And it actually has a rather small number of chapters of businesses and of local chambers of commerce. But the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is not similar in any way to local chambers of commerce that people may be familiar with,
right,
that work on local issues often in a fairly honest way. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the biggest lobbying force and political advertising force in Washington, D.C., and has the most extremist right-wing agenda of any of them, which is why these corporations that are members like to funnel their money through the chamber and through misleadingly named chamber organizations in order to get their name off it. And so this reform that's coming up in Congress in the coming days to require that when corporate groups buy political ads, that they have their CEO go on there and take credit,
right,
for it and say who's paying for it like politicians do with their ads, you know, it's a very, very minor reform to this horrendous new interpretation of the Constitution that corporations can spend unlimited money on politicking, but it's something that the chamber would be greatly weakened by.
Right, we can only imagine what it would be like to see the head of Walmart at the end of a commercial.
You would have to, if Walmart was paying for it, legally, if the laws were enforced, which, is a whole separate question we need to get into. But if this law is passed and is enforced, then if Walmart is funneling its money through some U.S. Chamber of Commerce front group called Grassroots People for Democracy or whatever, then the CEO of Walmart has to go on there and admit that he paid for the ads, which of course greatly weakens the impact.
Right, and you can only imagine what a corporation would be comfortable with putting out if their CEO, many of these CEOs remain anonymous to the American people. So if they were going to put up, those ads that we saw for quite some time, using Walmart as an example, of, that weren't really selling a product so much as selling the idea that people like working there, we can only imagine what it would be like to see the head of Walmart on a multi-billion dollar advertising spree. But again, this comes down to the chamber passing itself off as something that it's not. I mean, I think back to growing up in Los Angeles and going to local chamber functions for the Westchester Playa del Rey Chamber of Commerce, and they'd have candidate debates and whatnot. And sure, some of the membership was conservative, but most of the folks there had absolutely no political ideology other than they wanted their small or tiny business to succeed. They just wanted to be listed in the directory of businesses in the area. And that's what people think generally of the chamber when they hear about the chamber.
Right. That's why the Chamber of Commerce paid for this sounds so much better than Walmart paid for this, and so people don't know that Walmart is the major funder of the privatization of our schools. People don't know that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's agenda is to deny global warming and prevent the provision of health care or any other social welfare to Americans, to destroy any sort of regulation of workplace safety, among other things, which is why the chamber is so prominent in the stories of this mine disaster in West Virginia. The CEO, Mr. Blankenship of Massey Energy, is on
right.
the board of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. These are people who, for many years now, have bought off the government, have funded people like Senator Mitch McConnell, put his wife in as a Secretary of Labor, of all things, had Massey Energy executives running the oversight of mining in the Department of Energy, and are now cycled back out the revolving door and are again working there at Massey Energy.
Which really shows that this is not just a political issue. This is a life and death issue. This is, the second year in a row that we've had a mine collapse for Massey Energy?
Yeah, I couldn't
or just
care
about
less what politicians are in or out of power or what party is dominant.
Right.
I honestly could not possibly care less, but people die because of government policies. And when you see Mr. Blankenship, board member of the U.S. Chamber, CEO of Massey Energy, one of the wealthiest, most powerful people in West Virginia and in my state of Virginia, where they're based, holding a rally with Hank Williams Jr. and his American flag shirt and declaring that safety of his workers is his top priority and we have to get rid of the government because they're annoying him by telling him that, and he knows it already, that sort of ignorance that's pushed at corporate funded rallies all the time is so toxic. We actually have regulations that predicted these disasters. This company not only has the record for violations, but has the record for legal appeals, has the record for not paying fines once levied. This is ongoing, knowing, repetitive criminality, treating violations and fines and legal battles as the cost of doing business, and human lives be damned. This is knowingly putting people to death exactly as is putting a gun to their head.
To make a buck. And, every time this happens with Massey Energy, I don't remember what the number was last time, but this time around I remember hearing shortly after the collapse that Massey had 54 safety violations in the past 3 or 4 weeks. That's just in the week leading up to this current collapse. It doesn't include all of the violations in the year and a half since the last time we had to go through this. So it really is a life and death situation here. Do you want to tell me more about what Stop the Chamber is and what y'all are doing? For folks that are out there and just joining us, this is the Leslie Marshall Show. We're talking to David Swanson from StopTheChamber.com, and we'd love to hear from you. You can call 1-888-6-LESLIE. That's 888-653-7543. So, David, what exactly is Stop the Chamber, and how is it going, how is it challenging the chamber? Because we have heard in the last few months a few major companies pull themselves out of the Chamber of Commerce because of the chamber's business, agenda, right-wing agenda. So how does Stop the Chamber fit in?
Well, we're a coalition of grassroots organizations with a bunch of lawyers and staff people. I myself not being among the lawyers, who are urging and advocating and lobbying and pressuring for various reforms. In the most recent example, pushing for a serious and criminal investigation of Blankenship and Massey Energy, whose violations in fact in recent years are in the thousands. It is absolutely standard practice for them. But we're also pushing to make the Chamber of Commerce part of the election campaigns this year. The U.S. Chamber filed an affidavit, a friend of the court brief in the Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission
right.
case, proclaiming that the need to make the ruling that was ruled, unlimited corporate spending on politicking, and that they, the Chamber of Commerce, would be the greatest beneficiary. And they have already announced that they will be spending at least $50 million this year just on candidate-related ads. They are going to be spending more money on telling people what to think about politics than either political party or any other organization. And we think that Congress members need to look at the criminal record, the endless record of scandals and abuses and lies, and swear that they will have no contact with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and take no money from it or any of its organizations or members on its campaigns. And so a lot of what we're doing is pushing for greater awareness and greater interest in real investigations. We also think a criminal investigation of the CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, is merited, and we've offered a $200,000 reward to information for any information leading to his arrest and conviction.
Well, and if people do have that information, how do they get it to you?
Go to StopTheChamber.com, and you can contact us through the website, or you can certainly contact me directly at david@davidswanson.org.
Excellent. When we come back after the commercial break, I want to get into some other chamber-related issues, and maybe we'll have some callers. If you're out there and you want to talk to David about Stop the Chamber, call toll-free 888-653-7543. This is the Leslie Marshall Show. In for Leslie tonight, I'm Carl Frisch, and we'll be right back.
Leslie Marshall. Real people. Real life. Real talk. 888-6-LESLIE. Follow Leslie on Twitter. Just go to www.twitter.com/Leslie Marshall, and we'll be sure to share your tweets.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio. If you're just joining me, we are talking to David Swanson from StopTheChamber.com about the Chamber of Commerce and its radical right-wing political pursuits. We have a couple calls for you, David, if you don't mind talking to some people. Raymond in Reading, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Welcome.
First of all, I'd like to send out my condolences to all the families of the miners.
Absolutely.
And the recent collapse in West Virginia. My argument I know everything's coming out as a right wing conspiracy or whatever with Chamber of Commerce. However, it's not. I don't see where it's always the right wing conspiracy when corporations, whether it be mining or other large corporations, give to liberals just as much as conservatives. So where is the attack coming at against
Raymond? I don't know that
right wing conspiracy.
Well, I don't know that corporations do give as much to the right and left equally. I know they do give a lot of money to both sides. I think it's pretty clear that corporations contribute significantly more to people more up their alley. But, David, do you want to take that?
Well, the corporations we're talking about here, the mining corporations and the Chamber of Commerce, give significantly more money to Republicans than Democrats. But that is not to paint Democrats as saints or Republicans as
universally
evil. But a conspiracy is simply a campaign that involves more than one person. And here we have a group of corporations that successfully bought off key members of the Congress, including the current Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, and his wife, who was Secretary of Labor when Bush and Cheney were in town, whose open mission was to destroy the Department of Labor and to undo regulation, and who fined Massey for the worst ecological disaster in U.S. history when they dumped all of this coal sludge on rivers and communities, $5,000.
Right.
And so, you know, whether that's right or left or center, it's corruption.
It's wrong, absolutely.
And the taxpayers and the people who live there end up suffering. And Mr. Blankenship has several mansions with several servants in each of them and a helicopter and a plane. So, you know, that there is, though, a side to this that is often seen as right versus left, and that is the question of whether the workers ought to have had any rights. Because back in the mid-80s, when they went on strike, Blankenship brought in scabs, hired a personal army of soldiers, brought in West Virginia state troopers, and busted the unions. And if those 29 workers had been unionized, they could have refused to work in unsafe conditions and kept their jobs and their lives.
It's absolutely heartbreaking when you consider that this goes on unabated. David, I want to thank you for coming on and talking with us about StopTheChamber.com. If you're out there and you're concerned about this issue as much as we are, you can log on to StopTheChamber.com and take action today to help make sure that this doesn't happen again. A year from now, we're not talking about the exact same story. David, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, this is the Leslie Marshall Show. Filling in for Leslie tonight, I am Carl Frisch. We'd love to hear from you. Call toll-free 888-653-7543. And be sure to go to my website, carlfrisch.com, and sign up for my email list. We'll be right back.
Leslie Marshall, the simple truth in a complicated world. 888-6-LESLIE. If you miss Leslie on TV this week, catch up at LeslieMarshallShow.com.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. Filling in for Leslie tonight, I am Carl Frisch. We are taking your calls. As a matter of fact, we've got Dean in Buffalo. Dean, welcome back.
Hey, you know, you guys are doing a great job tonight. My comment is about the rich corporations who try to buy things and get politicians to do things that they want to do.
Yes.
This is really not surprising. I mean, this has been going on since the dawn of time. And as unfortunate as it is, I don't think you're ever going to stop it. The only thing that I could see possibly stopping it is if Obama puts some kind of anti-corporation around campaign finance reform legislation so that these people can swoop in and make these politicians like political prostitutes.
You know, Dean, I think the way that this country has always operated, and you're right, corporations have always been somewhat involved in the process, but it's always snapped back and forth. So corporations exert power over the elected officials and the politicians that are ruling the day, and then over time, the citizenry, they get upset, and they snap the politicians back in line, and the corporations get pushed out the door just a bit and just enough for things to get back to normal. And the question has to be, is how much is too much, and when is that going to happen this time around? I think the Citizens United case is probably the clearest example of us reaching a fevered pitch. And I will say that there is news out this morning that from the Hill newspaper, it's a Capitol Hill rag that insiders read, thehill.com, is reporting that Democrats are preparing for election year battle to craft Citizens United legislation. So the Democrats in Washington are really looking to tackle this. And the story goes a little bit further. It says legislation that aims to counteract the landmark Supreme Court ruling allowing corporate and union campaign spending could be introduced by the end of the week. The bill would set up an election year fight over recent high court decision, just as the Senate considers a nominee to fill the seat of retiring Justice John Paul Stevens. Congressman Van Hollen, who is from Maryland, and Senator Schumer, who's from New York, said they expected to unveil their legislation by the end of this week. They haven't really let much of the details out yet, but one of the things that we've been hearing kicked around for a while now is the idea of putting corporations, CEOs, on at the end of commercials, much like we're used to seeing politicians out there doing that. So I think this could be an issue that progressives can rally around and fight back with and take some of the populist wind out of the you know, right-wing Tea Party movement, the Sarah Palins of the world. Because as much as some people may not like campaign finance reform, the idea that you would let corporations, who keep in mind have corporate personhood, so they already act in a way like normal political players, but show me the average American citizen who has a couple $1 billion to drop of other people's money, because that's precisely what they're now allowed to do. For anybody who doesn't know, Citizens United basically says that corporations can spend money from the general treasury, i.e. their profits, on political campaigns and electioneering. And the interesting thing is, if you consider for a minute what if Congress was getting ready to act on this whole debacle with Massey Energy in West Virginia? Massey Energy could take its corporate money, which is money of its shareholders and its profits, and spend every single penny on politics. And that's the last thing we want to do, is let that happen. Mark, I don't know if you saw that article, but it's pretty telling that things are actually going to start happening.
The one I'm not sure actually if I have the right link from you. The thing you sent to me was from Huffington Post, but you mentioned the article. The article was from The Hill. Is it by Russell Berman by any chance?
Yeah, I believe it is.
It says Democrats prepare for election year battle to craft Citizens United legislation.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I just pulled up. I'm really happy to hear about that because I was actually hearing initially about a week or two after the decision that Schumer was kind of leading the charge there. So that's honestly, I don't want to say a relief for me because I don't want to say that it's, you know, already happened or anything like that. And I don't want to get, you know, too ahead of myself or get my hopes up too much. But just the fact that,
you know. He hasn't told me yet. I'll go grab him.
Just the fact that we're doing that, you know what I mean, or the Schumer's doing that, I think is a big step. The other thing, though, is there was a poll out, I remember, almost immediately after the decision, and it was astonishing. I think it was 76% of Americans, regardless of political party, just 76% of Americans were against the decision. And I think to get 76% of Americans to agree on anything in a poll these days is impressive. So,
right.
I think not only is it the right thing to do, if the right-wing media doesn't, you know, influence people too much before the legislation is brought out, I think it could actually be, you know, not that I think this is the number one thing to worry about. It could be a way to score some political points for Democrats heading into the elections. But number one, I think, again, it's most importantly the right thing to do, because this, I think, could be bigger than any other Supreme Court decision, including or any other court decision, really, in my recent memory, including the one that made George Bush president for 2000. I'm sure we could argue about which one could be more devastating. Obviously, Citizens United just
happened.
Well,
this one could make presidents for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. That's why I think, honestly, it's worse, which I never thought I would say about anything after after how Bush became president in 2000.
Well, and unfortunately, this decision is not like Bush v. Gore in that it applies for the future, and Bush v. Gore was singular and solitary and
exactly.
Wasn't to be applied in any other
exactly. That's why I think this scares the what out of me. So I mean, knowing what and following what you follow, I know it's very early on, but I mean, what's your gut feeling? I know you read the article. Do you think it has a chance? And if so,
absolutely. I think when you've got the heads of the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the former head of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee jumping on this, I think it's likely to happen. I mean, Chuck Schumer is elected a third of the Democratic caucus. I think he'll be able to call in some favors. It's also an issue that appeals to basically every swath of Democratic elected official. I'm sure there will be a handful of people that don't want to support the legislation, but it does appeal to the moderates in the party, as well as the liberals and the progressives. And there will also be undoubtedly some Republicans who will, actually show some bipartisanship on this issue. I'd be very interested to know what John McCain has up his sleeves, if he's going to come out and say that it's wrong, because, he's in the middle of a tough primary right now.
I remember, actually, the day that it came out, I was one of the times I was impressed with him. Now, we'll see if he sticks to his guns. I'll try to find you the quote during the break, but he was very, very strongly against it because, if I recall correctly, it was stripping a lot of the McCain-Feingold work that he put a lot of time into, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It put limits on the money that could be given to candidates and campaign committees. And the idea that a corporation would now be able to give, a huge amount of money and spend as much money as they want is really what this all comes down to. Because they've now got an unlevel playing field, which they already had to begin with. But this is even more absurd. This is like the difference between the bottom of Death Valley and the tops of the Himalayas, in terms of who's got the control here. But, it's one of those issues, and we've got a new guest coming up after the break. We're going to be joined by Wayne Beeson from truthwinsout.org, and it's going to be a fascinating discussion about something that happened on CNN just days ago. This is the Leslie Marshall Show. Filling in for Leslie tonight, I am Carl Frisch.
Leslie Marshall, straight and on point. 888-6-LESLIE. Become Leslie's friend on Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com/Leslie Marshall and join her fan page.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio. We've had like 50 heads of state in D.C., so traffic has been insane. We've got our end-of-the-hour guest with us finally. And before we get started, I just want to play cut one because this is what gave me the idea of bringing him on.
Richard Cohen was not the most appropriate guest to have on, but it is a decision that we made, and the result of that is our continued discussion today. That is what journalism is all about, and we will continue to do our best to discuss gay and lesbian issues in a fair way on this program. I wish that all of you knew my heart. And as a journalist with a long track record of covering gay and lesbian issues, I wish that those of you who sent me vicious emails watched my newscast more often, because if they did, my guess is they would not have been so quick to send such hateful messages. They don't know my record and my unswerving support for all communities in the battle for human rights, including gays, lesbians, and transgendered individuals. And to make it perfectly clear, I love debating issues. It evokes passion. But if we cannot
All right,
treat
I've had
each
enough
other
of that.
In a civil manner.
Joining me now is Wayne Beeson. He's the founding executive director of Truth Wins Out, which you can find at truthwinsout.org or on Twitter at truthwinsout. He's also the author of Anything But Straight, Unmasking the Scandals and Lies Behind the X-Gay Myth. So, Wayne, we were just listening to Kyra Phillips from CNN apologizing for hosting a prominent supposedly ex-gay quack. Why don't you fill us in a little bit about your impressions of what happened there and a little bit about what the heck the ex-gay thing is all about.
Sure. First, in terms of the CNN piece, it was just really a terrible decision. It was they brought on, with no opposition,
Richard Cohen,
who is like King Quack. And here is somebody who has been kicked out, expelled for life from the American Counseling Association. Here is somebody who that bangs a tennis racket and yells the name of his father or mother to heal you from homosexuality, and who has this fondle therapy where he puts you in your lap and pets you. The guy, before he was an ex-gay therapist, was a Mooney. He is somebody who he lived for many years on an island. It was called Vashon Island off of Seattle, and belonged to a thing called the Wesleyan Community Church that practiced nude therapy and got in trouble this cult.
Did they have tennis rackets?
I'm sure they did. That's where his touch therapy came from. But they actually got in trouble for fondling youth and got in trouble. So this is the person they bring on as the expert against homosexuality.
And they called him an expert.
They did. They called him an expert. And he's not a doctor. He's got no background. And in fact, after losing his getting kicked out of the American Counseling Association, he now had to reinvent himself as the sexual reorientation coach. That's his newest incarnation.
Like a life coach.
Yeah, like a life coach. So for a network to do so little homework and bring someone on is a disgrace to the profession. Now, there were bigger fish to fry,
mm-hmm.
As far as this host on CNN who did seem contrite and didn't seem out to get the community.
Right.
And there were a lot of things that go into cable. They're 24/7, and they're bringing on
sure.
people. So things can happen, and they deserve a chance to make up for these errors. But let's face it, it was a terrible segment, and they should have been called out for it, and they were.
So, in my estimation, The notion of the so-called ex-gay is really something that is pushed by religious fanatics that are already starting off entirely opposed to the gay and lesbian community. And they use this to try and sell the one thing they need to convince people in order to continue to oppress LGBT people, which is that we can change.
In 1998, the Family Research Council and a bunch of other organizations, about 15 right-wing organizations, launched a multi-million-dollar advertising campaign saying that people could pray away the gay. They put full-page ads in the New York Times, USA Today, ended up as a cover on Newsweek. And the reason they did this was because the old fire and brimstone was not working as well in the suburbs. And they realized that poll after poll showed if you can convince people that homosexuality was a casual choice, like what you're going to have for breakfast or what you're going to wear, those people who believe that voted against LGBT equality. Those who believed it was part of someone who they were, part of their soul, part of their inner making. Those people tended to vote overwhelmingly for equality. So they said to themselves, A, we can no longer do fire and brimstone, it's turning people off. B, if we can just convince people that you can pray away the gay, then they'll vote against equality. And that is why they embarked upon this, and this is why this is still the centerpiece of their anti-gay efforts to this day.
And you can see that play out in real ways. I mean, look at Prop 8. There are certain things that they say behind closed doors at their rallies and on their flyers to motivate their church members. And then there are the certain things that they say in polite company in front of the rest of us so as not to appear too out there. They run the ads where the two moms are talking and one says, I'm going to my niece's, and she's got a lesbian partner. What are you doing on Prop 8? Oh, I'm, my sister's a lesbian and I still support Prop 8 because it's not getting rid of any of the protections. So they've learned that they can appeal to the same factors without being too openly bigoted. What is, you know, it goes further than playing with adults. I mean, there are also these camps that these organizations run, and not just for adults, but for children as well, where they try and get them to pray away the gay. Can you talk a little bit about what happened in Tennessee with that? I think it was in Memphis.
It was Memphis. The organization was Love in Action, which was an affiliate of the largest ex-gay organization, Exodus International. And they ran a boot camp for youth called Refuge. And they took two youth that we know of, Zach Stark and Lance Carroll. And they went against their will, and they made these kids sit with and pray all day and sit in circles and talk about their sex life with sexual predators. And they called this helpful, called this therapy, which just really goes to show how unprofessional they are. But, you know, this boot camp in Memphis got a lot of press because before he went, Zach Stark sent out a message on in the internet, and like a message in a bottle that went around the world,
right.
And people were aware of how these programs operate. But they're not alone. I was talking just last year to a young man who was up in an ex-gay boot camp. He was 14. There were young people as young as 11. And they made them do things like scrub toilets or chop wood in the rain. It was horrifying, some of the things that went on. This young man attempted suicide 6 months after that. So they're incredibly damaging.
And that's the ultimate conclusion far too often, isn't it?
That is the ultimate conclusion. In fact, Caitlin Ryan did a really great study from San Francisco State University that said that acceptance is the most important factor in the health of LGBT youth. If you reject them, if you condemn them for who they are, they're significantly more likely to either commit suicide, abuse drugs and alcohol, or be depressed. And so how we treat our youth when they come out is crucial to how they're going to, A, will they survive, and B, will they succeed in life.
And, you know, over time, I mean, you've been following this so-called movement for a long time. Many of the leaders in this movement are proving the point themselves that this is not something that can be changed. You've even photographed folks in gay bars that claim to be ex-gay.
Yeah, there was the earlier I mentioned the $1 million 1998 campaign,
right.
And the gentleman on the cover of Newsweek, John Polk, he had also been on Oprah, 60 Minutes, and Good Morning America, saying he had prayed away the gay. And I was actually trying to work on the first chapter of my book, and I had no idea what the first chapter was going to be about. Then the phone rang, and it was my colleague Daryl Hirschhaft, who works at the Human Rights Campaign. And Daryl said, "Get down to the bar, Mr. Pease." And I said,
"Mr. Pease."
But why would I want to go out tonight? I'm trying to figure out what chapter one is. And he said, "Chapter one's at the bar, and he's hitting on me." I'm like, "What?" He said, "John Polk, the king of the ex-gay ministries, is offering me cocktails and trying to take me home." Ran over there as fast as I could. And lo and behold, there he was, their poster boy, at the gay bar in Washington, Mr. Pease, flirting around and not being as ex-gay as he had claimed.
Well, that's like lightning striking. You know, what can people do if they're concerned about this? We've got about a minute left. Mm-hmm. What can people do to fight back against this type of, issue being accepted as common and you know, legit?
Mm-hmm. There are several things they do. First of all, they have to be aware, and they can do that at truthwinsout.org, and we monitor these groups. They can actually monitor these groups as well, and let us know, because we can't see everything. And they can also, I mean, I think it's very important for them to also just accept people for who they are as most important, and also
absolutely
come out of the closet and let people know who they are.
Absolutely. Wayne, thank you so much for joining me tonight. This has been The Leslie Marshall Show. I am Carl Frisch, filling in for Leslie. And for more, go to carlfrisch.com. Thanks again. Have a good night.